are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
How's it like in Hawaii?
It's okay.
You're from there?
Originally from Hawaii, born and raised,
You know, I was there one time. I went there for my birthday, and I went up in those, it's been so long, those falls where you just, there's the road goes and you see all the falls. There's a famous guy, I think it's named after, the road that you go on. And I just remember all these beautiful falls that were on this windy road. Mm-hmm. And I saw it actually not only from that road, but I also saw it from a helicopter.
So were you on the island of Oahu, Honolulu?
I was on the main island.
Okay, Oahu. Yeah, more city-ish, yeah?
No.
I mean city, but you can drive out to...
It was my first time. It was interesting. We had a good time. I liked the helicopter ride for sure. But I have not been back. I also, one thing that stands out was the clarity and the color of the water with those white caps.
Mm.
I mean, wow, that was pretty interesting too.
Yeah, we have the trade winds that comes in usually from the easterly direction. That's why you see a lot of those white caps on the ocean.
Actually, I was there twice. I went there for the triathlon, the Ironman. That was my first time in Hawaii.
Okay, so that's funny you bring that up, because you were on one of your podcasts, you talked about the skating, the guys who skate.
Yeah.
So where I lived, I was a trainer at this gym, and the Ironman always come in there and train. They got gigantic legs as well. And where you think they got them from biking?
Right. No, it was amazing. Wherever I was, wherever they held that thing, I mean, that place was, I was really shocked. What I did is back then I was doing like this body fat testing with a portable machine. And it was, I can't remember the name of that either, man. I'm getting too old for this stuff. But it was a portable way for me to do body fat testing. So what I did, I just went over on my dime because I wanted to do body fat testing on these athletes. And so what I did is I convinced somebody that was on the lane where people were running. I think it was close to the finish line. And he let me put my sign up in his yard. Body fat testing for $20. That actually paid for my trip. I didn't know that I could do that. It was all on the fly. And the guy said, yeah, you can use my yard. Well, I did a bunch of body fat testing for all kinds of athletes there. And then of course I got to see the race, and I was blown away by those competitors. I mean, after doing a 2 mile swim and a
swim. Yeah.
A bike ride for 100 miles or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Up to where I live. They come all the way up to where I live.
Yeah. And to see some of those guys finish the way they did, and some that didn't, and they crawled across. I mean, you saw a wide variety of people and, you know, wanting to complete that no matter how, whatever it took. And it was pretty impressive. I remember the guy that won, or he finished in the top three because of his name. Mike Pig was his name. And at that time, he was one of the top the marathoners at that particular time, the Ironman runners. And it was, man, blew me away. I tell you, it was just some of the ladies. I got down as far as with them, which is pretty low. They were like at around 11 to 13%, some of the women, which is pretty low as for a woman. But yeah, it was a cool trip, and ended up paying for my trip just doing the body fat testing. It was kind of a cool idea. Had a good time, man. And then I guess that area after that event is over, it's a small town again, and there's not a lot of people there, but once a year, do they still have that? The Ironman?
Yeah. I don't think because of COVID, but they do have it, and that's in Kona. So you was on the island, this island I'm on, Big Island.
Oh yeah. Kona. Now I remember that. Yes. Yeah. Kona. Anyway, welcome to Serious Growth Podcast. I appreciate you. And then obviously you have been somebody who has used our training courses. So why don't you tell us when this all happened for you? How did you get started? How did you find some of our training courses?
Well, you know, just like any teenager growing up, you get to a point where you realize, your body, you want muscles. And I had cousins who started lifting, and of course I lifted with them, but I was always like, and I'm not joking, out of high school, like 100 pounds. And so, you know, I started working out, but got nowhere. And then like in 95, I was actually a competitive bodyboarder, and I was, you know, training and trying to figure out new ways to enhance what I was doing. And I ended up moving away to Georgia. And then I stumbled across some programs, you know. The first one was when they had that challenge by EAS.
Oh, yeah.
They had that first challenge. And they had programs, you know, basic guidelines. And now as a trainer, like looking back, that was just what everybody uses. Like even till today, they have a standard. And that's pretty much the basic standard that everybody goes by, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 3 different exercises, you know, usually like 4 sets per exercise, for, you know, 3 exercises per body part. So you would do 3 different exercises, 4 sets each one. And yeah, they would say limit your rest. If you feel you need longer, take more, 10 to 12 reps. And then basically they split it up. There was no science. Like, okay, the basic science is, I know that benching builds my chest. Basically, that's what. And then they share general knowledge.
Yeah.
And then during that time, I stumbled across Heavy Duty, which is Mike Mentzer's program. Mentzer,
yeah.
Yeah. And that one, after switching, kind of had a little growth. And then I went backwards. And I know why, because after, you know, so there's like the ramps, level 1, then level 2. That was what they did. It did a sort of mini level 2 to me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything that triggered any physiological change that made it scientifically backed up. So then I got a little change, maybe 1 week, 2 week, and then it just went plummeting. So then I was like,
let me stop you right there. Don't lose your train of thought, but I'm going to explain something. Maybe you know this.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
I knew Mike, and one of the things that I did, because I was very curious, you know, when you read the magazines, you're not really quite sure if you're getting the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I mean, right. You probably know that.
Right.
Now, I was at that time, I was really perplexed as to how these guys could be so much stronger than me, blah, blah, blah. And I've been doing it now for 6 or 7 years at this point. So what I did is I ended up going to Gold's Gym, and I actually started hanging around those guys, not around the guys, but in that environment, Gold's Gym. And here's what I found out about the guys that were doing Heavy Duty. Dorian Yates did the high intensity training. That was a part of what they did. That's what was their signature. Mike Mentzer was known for Heavy Duty. Dorian Yates was known for high intensity training. But right. if you took a look at their whole program, they actually did more volume, you know, than what they actually professed. Believe right. it or not. And I understand now, that kind of makes sense to me as to why you might have gotten some initial training, but maybe you just weren't doing enough volume, because volume is where it's at, along right. with strength. The strength is a secondary benefit when you're trying to put on muscle. And those right. guys knew that, but that's, you know, unfortunately all the information doesn't always get out to the non-suspecting consumer.
Right. And well, and then when I watched Dorian Yates' videos, I was like, he's not doing it like was taught by Mike. Like, and I get it there, that what you just said, because if I did one set of bench, one set of flat bench, one set of incline, one set of decline, one set of flies, That would be a superset, but that would be one set of one.
Yeah.
That would turn into volume if I kept it going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not all that was shared. Superseted was shared, but it was just no. You just need one exercise to failure. So people, if you take that literal.
That's right. And that's where the confusion and, you know, I'm not going to say that it was misinformation, but it's not telling the whole story behind that, because it didn't make any sense to me either. So that's kind of the story on that, you know, with those guys. And I got to know Dorian pretty well, not exceptionally well. But Mike, I'll tell you what, Mitzer was a genius. He really was. He was very analytical and he just you know, he was actually a very good guy, but you know, that was my frustration with some of that. And that was part of the reason why one of the stances that we always took in with this, all of our products, was that, you know, we were going to talk straight to people, even if it wasn't popular, but you know, we wanted to make sure that the information that we gave out was based on science and physiology and stuff that was tried and tested in the trenches, you know, and sometimes it goes against, it goes against popular belief. And even, I don't know if you saw it, but in fact, we're going to do a screenshot and bring this guy out on Instagram. But there was a post that you did where you're doing partial reps.
Yeah.
And some guy came out and I always know, and they don't really know what the hell they're talking about, but that's okay. He came out and said, yeah, partial repetitions. And I said, partial repetitions is a part of the, he was just seeing the micro in the training that you were doing as far as partials. And I made some kind of a comment like that's a part of the macro. Your body understands fatigue and recovery. It's about knowing, and you said something before we came on the show, knowing your body and knowing how to train your body to where it gets fatigue and understands fatigue and recovery. This yo-yo, he didn't understand that. So he makes it personal, you know, like, ah, you loser, you're fake followers. And so I basically just, with him, I just said, well, why don't you come on my podcast? Let's talk about opposing views. I have no issue with that, you know, because one of the things I've learned to this day, because I've had a lot of guys on my show, Tony Pearson was one of them. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat as far as training is concerned. There's not one just, you know, one 100% for everybody. But the point is, you know, people like that, it's like, well, come on, let's talk about that. You know, you can probably imagine. I said, when do you want to come on the show? Crickets. I haven't heard from, you know, so another faker in the industry that they know just enough to be dangerous. So anyway, carry on with we're talking about you and how you ended up on the on our training product. So you tried Mike Mincer's and you actually went down a little bit after going up. So what happened after that then? What was the path that you kept going on?
I just kept reading, and internet was very scarce back then. Like there was AOL dial-up, but there was very scarce, like limited information. So, but there were things out there. So I stumbled across periodization. Then not microperiodization, because that wasn't out there yet, right? The Germans and the Russians. So I started reading a lot, and then stumbled across Big Beyond Belief. And that when I studied it, like, right, you got to make this big before you can make that big, right? Yeah. So
starts there.
I studied till I felt like when I went in, I was a little bit ahead of each time I went in, so that I would be like, kind of like jiu-jitsu, it's like a chess game. I'm thinking 10 moves ahead.
Yeah.
So I needed to start with, okay, do I have the means to get enough protein, stocking up on this? So if I'm gonna stack supplements, I wasn't too first in understanding supplements. Only that 1 gram to 1.5 grams per pound of protein per day of what my body needs. And then I went along and tried to follow the program to the T of, you know, structuring. So I made my own charts. I put it on the wall. I drew it all out, like pretty big paper size. And then I would mark it off. And I just started. And I left off on a certain weight when I left off on Mike Mincer's program. And what I started to see in the next months to come, I just couldn't even comprehend what is happening, because I was 100 pounds in school. I moved back. When I came back to Hawaii, I gained about 60 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was walking around, and I remember people just, especially my legs, like wherever I went, like in Georgia, wherever I went, people would look at my legs and be like, man, you got some wheels on you. And I was kind of, I didn't understand. I just thought that I'm looking at like Tom Platz and you, and I'm just looking at that, and I'm not thinking of what I look like. I'm just thinking that I don't have time for this, 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 and this training. Everything is around the clock. I need this much sleep because, and if I lack in this area suffers. And if I don't eat enough protein, then if I don't eat enough protein, I mean, if I eat too much, enough protein, but I don't eat enough carbs, I'm stripping away protein because I gotta spare it by the car. So I had all these things. I didn't really pay attention to people. It was all about,
yeah,
I gotta follow this program. It's backed up by science. They did blood work before doing and after training. I can put this to the test. And when I came back here, everybody was like, what are you, like, they thought I was on the juice.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know what steroids was either.
I remember we talked about guys will, and some of our ads that we did, that don't be surprised if people don't accuse you of being on the stuff, on the sauce. Right. You know, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened to you. That's kind of funny that I'm interviewing someone who that actually happened to. They probably thought that he's not natural, you know, based on the way you're describing yourself. But I'll tell you what's really important about what you're saying and is the missing link for so many people. And I would tell you most is that shirt that you're wearing represents exactly who you are. You're a student of the game. Okay. You pay attention to all those factors. See, that's what most people won't do. And I'll be honest with you. When I first started, I didn't do all those things. I mean, as far as documentation and really paying attention to that, where I got that from was actually once I started competing and Platz told me, he said, you have to document everything because you think you're going to remember, like after the show is over, what you did prior to that, you know, when you got ready for that particular show, because I don't know about you, but when you get ready for a show, you have to commit to something so you can have good data to analyze that, whether it worked or it didn't work. You have to be able to do that. And that's where Tom was coming from. He said, document everything, even to the point where document how you felt that day.
Right.
Because over time, you'll start finding stuff that's very valuable information. You were ahead of the game because you had that mindset already.
Right.
And you were being super proactive and you were paying attention to the minute things. And that's where people screw up because they don't do that. And then they wonder, well, that didn't work for me, or I didn't get the results that I wanted to get. And you understand that because you did it.
And so like you were talking about people come on and make comments. I seen it. I was having those comments about the partials, everything. And I was like, man, I can't just type everything out for you. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. I only can type so much on the post. That's, you're getting a mini thing.
It was a micro information. That's what my point was.
Right. So I was, okay. So I was telling Carl this, that say I'm on the back off phase. I'm resting 3 minutes. I'm benching 4 to 6 reps. My first set, I partialed six, you know, all six reps, but at the sixth one, I was really, that was the last of six.
Yeah.
Now I have a choice now. If I understand this and I'm a student of the game, I have a choice now. Should I take off 5 to 10 pounds, or how much more can I partial this one again? Because now it's still heavy, and then see if I could lose form, whatever is left.
Mm-hmm.
So I could think, well, man, the smartest thing to do is partial. But if I was unsure of myself, I would do the weight again because I know I could get at least 4 partials.
Mm-hmm.
I could make the 4 at least, and then see if I could lose form out 2 more to make the 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you get a little bit more, you know, knowledgeable, knowing yourself, documentation, saying I felt good this day when I lifted this. What was my day like? Did I mimic that again? And do I feel that same feeling like the last week's workout?
Right.
And then I'll leave on or take off 5 pounds and then partial it and get the full body in the state of contraction, the entire reps of doing partials 6 mm-hmm. times again. So that's exactly what you were just saying, like knowing that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Well, and the thing about that is, well, a lot of people don't really understand is that the muscles can't read.
Right.
You know, you know, and so the end game is that you're thoroughly fatiguing that body part. Now, some will say, well, if you're doing a lot of partial repetition, that your development might be such, but if you're paying attention to how your body looks, you adjust to that along the way and make those adjustments, proper adjustments along the way. And this has been a real frustrating part of it. I mean, hey, look, it's always going to be that way. Kahana, because, you know, we all have opinions and we should still be able to have an opinion, you know, so I'm okay with that. But right, the whole point of what you and I are talking about is really talking about the real truth of all this stuff and how it really works. And you, but what a lot of people will not do, and I'm kind of repeating myself, is they won't take that extra energy to do every single step that you need to take in order to create the results that you and I are talking about. That's just the truth of it all. And that's okay. And you know what? The guys like that who I'm talking about that come out and mouth off and pipe off, you know, it's like I said, I could have gotten into like a Twitter war with him. It's like, he doesn't understand. So just, I just took another road. So just come and let, maybe you have something that we can learn from, because that's the whole point of this thing, is pass the information on. When I went to Bulgaria, they told me that, look, they were known for Olympic lifting. What we figured out based on their doctors and what they were saying, they said, look, here's how, if I was making this into a bodybuilding program, because bodybuilders didn't have a way to compete internationally. They were not, you know, in Bulgaria and Russia during those days, those guys that were on the Olympic teams, they're rock stars. They were more famous than the doctors and you know, some of these Olympic lifting was the, you were God. And I saw that people were just be when they were around these athletes. But those doctors also knew, those sports doctors, they said, if you want to put on muscle, here's the way you do that. And they talked about volume, you see? So, but it was, you know, but you just got to be willing to do the work when it comes right down to it. You got to do the work. And there's four components that you need to pay attention to. I talk a lot about the three components, which is resistance training, weight training, cardiovascular conditioning, nutrition, and there could be a mindset component, because you're only as strong as your mind. So that's very important. You've done all those components. How many people really do that at the end of the day?
Ooh, I don't know. That not a lot.
You know what I mean?
Most of them. And then the factors of their body type, where some people put on muscle faster than others.
Yeah.
Then once they see that, they believe, I'm doing what I know I'm doing, it's working. And then what about the other people? So it's almost like there's all these other factors that come into play. And then you have you must know because you got your kinesiology degree or whatever you got. And you know, it's really always not like that. It's just, I mean, they got the education, but did they put their body through it? And you know, like all the factors.
That's part of that. Listen, you know, Einstein once said, true knowledge is through experience. You have to experience it. You have to be that lab rat. You have to do the work. You just can't say, okay, I can read this and I can go into the gym and apply it. No, you can't. Not to that degree. You're that guy. You're actually the minority in this case of someone who really does all the things that's necessary. And I'll tell you what people don't want to hear. I don't like to hear is I tell them, look, if you want to find out where the problem is, just go look in the mirror.
Go look in the mirror.
And 95% of the time, you'll find where the problem is.
Right. Unless you're looking sideways.
Yeah. Unless you're looking at it in the dark, but who the hell wants to admit the fact that, okay, it wasn't everything else that I wasn't doing, I was doing it, that I wasn't doing that. Okay. So you, keep taking us down your path. So you get on to the first training program that you went on was a Big Man Belief.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I went through all the ramps, and what I found was the ramp one was really working really well. So I think I cycled that three times. Then I went to level two, and man, that's when I was like, whoa. Like when you had to squat, and I was a type where 35 to 50 reps, my mind is already, I got to get to 50. And once you hit 20, you're like, I was like 20, and I was doing, I did for 24 reps, like one on my benching, 175. I wasn't even barely lifting that for the other programs, EAS and heavy duty. I was barely benching stuff like that. And here I am I was like banging at partially.
Yeah.
And was a big goal for me to rep to partial it and fail at the 24th rep.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to be like that, on point, on target, on like everything. And but the squatting, oh boy.
Yeah.
I remember getting to 20 and thinking, I got to get to just 35 now. I just got to get to 35.
I know. It turns out to, like with me, I don't know about you, when I get to that point, it was just like, I just want to do one more. And just repeat that. I just want to do one more.
Right. I know exactly. Yeah.
Because if I'm thinking about 15 more to go, forget about it. I'm going to blow myself out mentally.
Right.
Before I can actually get it done. Right. You got to start playing games like that because you have.
Right.
You know, yeah. In order to get you. And the thing that you do learn about that is that you can't do more than you think you can, because when you first look at that 15 more, but when you frame that in a different way,
one.
You can make it because
you partials one, two.
Yeah. You've changed that. You've shifted that perspective, you know, right. Changes that. It's an important factor that because you have to learn how to keep on getting results as you're adapting and getting better. Look, there's no finish line in this thing. It just keeps getting harder in some ways. And, you know, Tom Platz once said, he goes, you know, bodybuilders are, we walk in fire. He made that comment. That's what he meant about that. You know, who wants to keep doing that? Think about that dynamic. We are walking. We're doing exactly the opposite of what your physiology wants to do. It wants to walk away from fire. It wants to take the path of least resistance. And we're going just exactly the opposite way.
Right. Like be comfortable.
We're like that first responder that walks into the fire, into the, you know, all that. But think about that. Who wants to do that on a long-term basis? No one, hardly anyone, you know?
Yep. You got to, right. You find yourself talking to, like you said, I found myself talking to myself like before each set, like,
yeah.
And then you have the timer. So the timer is on the floor, wherever the timer is, or if you have a partner holding the timer, it's like, stay right there. I need to see the timer.
Yeah.
And don't talk to me. I get 10 seconds and I start counting 10 in my head, getting the bar, you know, whether it's a squat, the squats is the one, like you got to really get yourself focused.
Yeah. Well, that one, as you know, that accesses and it recruits the most body parts involved. So that's why that happens.
Right.
You know, even with that being said, the squats, you're right. It was brutal. But I'll tell you the body part, I think it was right there as far as I had a love-hate relationship with training, just to be honest with you, because I didn't have a good time. I wasn't having fun. People that are having fun in their training.
Something's wrong, right?
Something's already off. You know? I never had fun. But when I do a bent row or a T-bar row, oh my God. I think it has to do with the fact that I'm bent over. It's hard enough to breathe already. At least in a squat, you're kind of standing up a little bit.
So I agree.
Bent row is like, oh man, you know, and to do those heavy reps, it was crazy. I know it's interesting. Tell me about the, we're talking mainly about the resistance training, which is good, but how did you back that up with, what was your plan doing cardio and your plan doing your nutrition?
Okay, first I'm going to backtrack and then come back to that.
Okay, that's
first
fine.
First I want to say is to hell and back in 45 minutes.
Okay, yeah, right. That's a damn good description. I confirm, counsel.
Okay.
You're right on the money.
I did a lot of surfing and I was always active, whether it was golfing, bowling, basketball. So I did all that. I had like cardio stuff that was always fun. I went on and did. I did a lot of surfing. And this is what's crazy about the body becomes its function is I've never seen something, and I've been active doing all these things. Now I've been a competitive bodyboarder. So I know about like spending hours and hours in the sun surfing and getting depleted, coming in and realizing, whoa, you know, I got this program I'm on. I got to feed the machine.
Yeah.
But I was not affected in any bad way from putting on more muscle, training like that. I actually felt like I was in good shape. I honestly felt like the body became its function. Although I wasn't doing it for a specific thing, it was enhancing everything else. I saw it enhance my jiu-jitsu. I saw it enhance surfing. Everything I did, I felt overall great. So I didn't per se look at the bike. Maybe I'd bike the regular stationary bike for a couple times a week. But I would go outdoors because I enjoyed being outdoors and surfing. And, yeah. You know, I did indoor jiu-jitsu. So I cannot tell you how, I cannot even comprehend how that did that. Like, I didn't feel like it held me back. You know, if you do another program and you lift heavy, When you go do something else that causes your body to use a lot more muscles, more repetition, you burn out fast mm-hmm. and you feel it. I didn't feel that. I literally felt enhanced.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. We talked about this early on in the show. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat. Not everybody, like Robbie right. Robinson, who I had at my place not too long ago, this past August, we did a seminar at my studio over here. You know who he is, right? Robbie Robinson. Yeah,
right. I know him.
Unbelievable. The guy was so amazing. But Robbie was that person who, because I asked him, I like to pick people's brains, you know, especially guys like that who've been around and competed at that level. And I will tell you this, and this applies to Platts as well. These guys didn't do a lot of cardio. They did just enough, and they did it in different ways. Tom, he did like sprinting. He would do like short bursts of sprint. And so he was very non-traditional that way. Robbie says, you know, so I just pay attention to what my body's telling me. Now, you're talking about somebody who's been in the industry for, you know, 40 years or more. So you become, and you are at this level to some degree too, and so am I. When you pay attention to what your body's doing every single day, you know what it's, you know, the language that it's speaking, right, you know, right. And you know, a lot of times that it's counterintuitive. What you think that you should be doing and what you should be doing, a lot of times are really different. Right, so my point is this, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. There's a lot of ways to get to that result, whether it be partial training, a lot of partial training that you're doing, whether getting your cardio through the activities that you were doing. The word that you said that is interesting is that it didn't impact me in a negative way.
Right. You know?
And now I would say this. Now, if I wanted to, maybe you have, if I wanted to, because I've done this, test something out, I might say, okay, I'm going to try it this way, like what you're talking about. And then maybe the next time I'm going to try it another way so I can compare back to this. That takes a long time, because I'll give you an example with me. I was that person who thought that if you did 30 minutes of cardio and got this result, then doing an hour, doing 2 hours a day would get a better result. Mm. I didn't know that wasn't true until I actually did that for a show. I committed to that style, you know, because I had to test everything before I settled in on something that I felt was really, really for me. That doesn't mean that you haven't gotten to that point. But again, my point would be, I've tried all these different styles, and here's for me what works. And you may have tied into what absolutely works for you by just doing what you are doing just naturally and intuitively, and that works. I'm just trying to point out another way to, like myself, the way I analyzed my results, so I could come up with what I thought was the best program for me. Because, you know, it's just like you could tell a person, like, this is the way that I train and this is the results I got. That does not mean that every person that goes on that program is going to turn out like you.
Right.
And you're proving that. I think it's really fascinating. I think that you're probably more intuitive than most people, just based on the way you're talking.
Yeah, and I've trained a lot of people, and I had a portfolio, and I wish I still had it, but I've seen similar results, but I mean, a little bit different, because like what you said, everybody's different, but generally the program did what it's supposed to do. Like every time it produced results, that was just amazing. Like I told one of my clients, if I do 180 and I did it 10 times, now guess what? That's done. I'm not coming back next week and doing 185, 180 again. That's 185. But if I'm going through my week and I realize I didn't take care of what I needed to take care of, right? My protein intake wasn't high every single day. If I don't notice, I mean, I'm going to live and learn. But if I come the next week and I go 185 and I don't make it, right? Maybe I do 8, maybe I do 9. The 9th one is equal to last week's 10th 180.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do my job. I'm somewhere along the line, some of those factors I left out. Whether it was sleeping, how was my process? So all these things come into play. But once you know them, when you're dialed in,
yeah,
man, mentally you come into that training day just thinking, I'm just going to smash you 185, 10 times, easy. Yeah. Well, not easy, but just like last week.
Yeah.
And it propels you. It's just like a building block.
Yeah. And, you know, the goal is to, at the end of the day, because I talk about on one of my posts I did. I said, a lot of times the reason why people don't get the results they want is because they're wasting time and making mistakes. And right. you have to pay attention to all that kind of stuff, minimize right. those mistakes and wasted energy. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's always been about now at this stage of the game, how do I produce a result and then reproduce a result that I want? That's called mastering. When you get, and you probably know this, like in your jiu-jitsu and your art, it takes a while to become a master of your discipline. And that's, for me, that's what bodybuilding has been. It's been a discipline. Been one of the best things that's happened to me. You know, I was always an athlete since I was 8 years of age, but nothing, and I'd always had a strong mindset and I was athletic, but nothing did more for me than bodybuilding, because it's one of those kind of sports that's unforgiving. And what you're saying is, like, if you don't pay attention to all the factors, you're going to know about it. Your body is going to let you know about it in one way or the other.
Right. And it sets you back. It sets you back.
That's exactly right. And you know something, it's hard enough. I mean,
right. Right.
Yeah. The body putting on muscle, it goes against its physiology and its nature. It's doing it because you're putting it into fight or flight every single right. time you're training, basically. So to have a setback is a major setback because of what we're talking about. And you don't have right. time to waste.
No.
And yet there's a process that you have to go through to really understand your body and the way. I think what you've done, because you paid attention to everything in the beginning and you were anal about that, and that's part of the serious growth creed, is being a student of the game and questioning everything. You did that so early on in your path, in your training path, that you were just way ahead of the average person. That's my assessment based on what you're telling me. Because that's,
well,
yeah.
Everybody walks in the gym, they become their own scientists.
Yeah.
And it blows me away after studying, right? You learn about physiology, bioenergetics, you learn about the 8 training factors, you learn about the new muscular activation, our hyperadaptation, you know, hyperaccelerate, hyperadapt, and you learn about opening your zone wider with supplementation and diet and all that. But you, I mean, I tell guys, dude, you can do it, you know, you can do a lot of things wrong and still get results with this program, because it'll do something. It's just structured where it'll do something. But when you put it all together, you're Boom. Talking like crazy gains.
Yeah, compounds.
Right.
It's like I tell people, when you put the 3 components together, it creates a compound effect. One of the components stands alone. You can really, and I believe, honestly, I go against probably what a lot of people say, but people say oftentimes when I interview people or whatever, they say nutrition is 95% of your program. I disagree with that. I think training, even though those 3 components are extremely important and they need to be a part of the program, I still think that the training is still more important aspect of the program, even over nutrition. Because maybe this is just too basic in my analogy. If I put myself on a great nutrition program and I don't train, I'm not going to put on muscle.
No.
However, if I'm on a shitty diet and I'm training, I'm going to put on muscle.
Right.
And for me, that kind of says it for me. Maybe I'm
right.
wrong about that.
No, you're not, because that's what I was saying. I was saying about, you don't need to do it wrong, but you do this program, it's yeah. going to show you gains, and you don't really need to know.
Yeah. But now when you start tightening things up, when you start bringing nutrition and giving your body a chance to have the best energy for recovery, blah, blah, blah. Right. Okay. But I'm just talking on the face of it. I still think training is actually the most important thing, not nutrition. And that right. goes against popular belief. And after this show, somebody's going to come out and say, well, you're a loser. You don't know what the
other right, right, right. I'm well, I got the challenge for me would be try the program. Like, what you got to lose?
That's, yeah.
You got muscle to gain. The only thing you got to lose is your ego.
Yep.
One. And two is if you're going to find out how strong up here is.
Exactly.
Very quick. Very
right.
quick.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, and if you can last, you can make it something that you do for a long period of time, kudos to you. And I give credit to anybody that's on a program, whether if it's a bodybuilding program or any kind of a program that demands motivation, passion, and discipline. good for you, because I tell you what, at the end of the day, you know, you can be motivated and you can have passion, but that's going to run out at some point. And what's going to carry you through is going to be the discipline.
Discipline. Exactly. Discipline.
That's the big dog right there.
Right. You know, consistency and the discipline. Right.
So where do you go from here now? What are you doing with your life and how are you moving forward? You know, for me, I'm 66 years old, almost 67. I still love the industry. I still love everything about exercise and diet. I'm a maniac that way. And I keep asking myself at certain times throughout my life, how can I stay relative in an industry that I still love? I'm not ready to pack it in. I'm just not. So
you're doing it. You're doing it right now.
That's right. That's exactly
right.
That's
what you're doing.
That's right. So I said, podcasting is what I do. I'm still writing training courses. That's what I'm doing. So what are you doing to keep yourself relative, to keep yourself juiced up and passionate about what you're doing?
Well, first off, I'd like to say that guys out there who are listening, that first off, like back when there was no Leo to talk to. Yeah. He's there, got the website up, got, you know, Facebook, Instagram. Look at Carlos, what she's doing is she's a product of following you. So am I. And guys, get out there and like try it. I mean, I cannot even like, this is in the mid 90s. I was doing this and I'm here like all giddy to sit here and talk with you and share, because I remember I was sought after a lot here. A lot of people were wondering, like, we heard of this guy. We saw photos of him. Like, what was he doing? And then when I talk with him, it's like, we can't just have like a 5-minute talk. We got a talk story, right? Yeah. I did mini seminars on these things. And then I was getting certified by Alpha. And then I thought to myself, I don't even need that. You guys like see the real deal? I could structure a program on my own now, right? We come to a place where that's a different level, right? I could structure something and make it even not even close to what we're doing and still get results better than what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And then you get to that point. But I just like to say, like, they need to get out there and try. The least they're going to do is gain muscle. But.
And I'm going to tell you something that, you know, I really appreciate your comment about coming on with me, but you have to understand something. And I really mean this. It's actually the same feeling for me to have people who have been following me for so long throughout the years to be able to talk to them. I'm in the same boat as you are. You may not see it that way. You know what I mean? But I'm honored to have people that have actually followed the program and that can sit here and say, you know, I did this. And so it means a lot to me to have followers and people like yourselves who have been right there supporting us. I do appreciate that. And it means as much to me as it does to you, believe me. So listen, we're going to wrap this thing up. Is there anything that you would like to finish with? Would you like to promote anything that you're doing before we leave the air?
Well, I'm just where I am right now is just getting back on it. And I'm starting to get back into my training, become a walking endorsement for what I'm doing. And then what I'm promoting, which is, you know, RAMP, Serious Growth, Big Beyond Belief, those things. So I'm just in a phase where I'm just focusing on what I'm doing and balancing that right now and coming to a place where I got some personal things that it's going on. And I'm just using this as therapy to come out and be like, okay, I can use this. It's going to help me. And at the same time, promote something that really works.
Yeah, cool. Like
for all those people who are walking around trying to figure it out, we're right here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would say, I'd like to tell you that anytime that you would like to, because one of the things I also like doing is collaborating with people and the things that they're doing. I like to leverage my information. Right. So anytime, if you have something that you want to collaborate with, seminars or things like that, I mean, I'm open, because one of the things I learned in Bulgaria that was astounding to me was when I went there, they were so open about sharing the information with me. And I told them right off the bat when I was there, I said, look, my plan is to get as much information that I can from you, and I'm going to go produce training courses in America. And I said, are you okay with that? And they said, absolutely. By the time you get back and you produce something, we'll be way ahead with new information. And I never forgot that. So I have no issue, no problem with sharing information, passing it forward. And if there's ever a chance that we can do that together, just know that I'm down. I like being around people like yourself, because we speak the same language. And it just, you know, it continues my journey, man. It makes it all worth it for me too.
Awesome. I love to too. And thank you for having me on.
All right, man. And let's hopefully we have you come back on again and give us some updates.
Updates,
the new breaking news for you, okay?
Yep. All right. Take care.
I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much, okay?
Aloha.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.